You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves with SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 12th of November 2020 from the SBS Newsroom. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, Australia Post warns of Christmas delivery times. What's the deadline to get your parcel out on time to make it in time for the Christmas holidays? We'll tell you about that in a few moments. But first, let's start with Telstra. Its shares surging by around 3% today on plans for a huge restructure of the business. It's part of its T22 turnaround strategy, which its CEO, Andy Penn, says will unlock value. So the proposal will create three separate legal entities. Its InfraCo business will be split. So what we'll see is InfraCo Fixed, which will look after things like cables and exchanges, InfraCo Towers, mobile phone towers, and ServCo, which will encompass the services it provides to consumers. Now, all of this should happen by the end of next year. So for more, here is its CEO, Andy Penn.
As we move further into FY22, and at a point where we are closer to the finish of T22 than we are to the start, we know we have more work to do to truly transform Telstra, but we also know that we have already made very significant progress. We therefore look to the future with growing confidence in our ability to deliver our strategic ambitions and importantly return Telstra to growth.
But could Telstra be positioning itself to purchase the national broadband network company if and when it becomes privatised? Well, for that and more, I spoke earlier with telco analyst Paul Buddha. Paul, Andy Penn says this restructure unlocks value. Where do you see that value?
I think that's correct, Ricardo. I think that what you see is that Telstra has enormous assets in its infrastructure. If you create an independent infrastructure company, then that company should be independent to actually look at what is the best infrastructure that I can use, whoever has it, at whatever possibility you can use it, rather than just overbuilding everything. You can actually start looking at utilizing others. At the same time, you can make your infrastructure available for others, of course, at a price, yeah, and you can make some extra money out of that.
So splitting into three separate legal entities, is it positioning for a divestment, though, of these businesses or a purchase of the NBN Co? And does that make sense?
Yeah, I think definitely positioning themselves, you know, so obviously they will have to wait and see what's happening in that particular area. So the infrastructure company obviously is set up, in any case, partly set up to look at the opportunities when they arise, when the government start privatizing the NBN company, definitely, yeah? Then obviously it depends on many, many things, if that's going to happen, et cetera, yeah?
Andy Penn also says this new restructure will help reposition it for growth. But what do you see as the challenges for Telstra going forward?
Telstra has enormous challenges, and they're not alone. It's every single telco around the world is facing enormous challenges, you know, because of the competition, particularly, of course, from the digital media, where you see that, you know, a lot of the services that we used to pay for are now free, you know, be it Zoom, be it WhatsApp, be it, you know, all of these services. So, you know, there's enormous pressure on that side from the company. On the other side, you've seen that they've basically missed the boat to move into that digital environment in any big way. You know, the Googles, the Facebook, the Amazons. On the other side, on the infrastructure side, I think Andy Penn is totally right. You know, in the infrastructure is becoming only more important. Yeah, we totally depend on it. COVID really showed how dependent we are on a good digital infrastructure. The complaints to NBNCo to provide good speeds, you know, particularly in regional areas, etc., you know, is absolutely important. Yeah. So yes, the cybersecurity from the government point, all these points that Andy Penn makes, I totally agree with that. You know, so it will also be interesting to see how that infrastructure moves forward in that respect, in relation to cybersecurity, in relation to national interest, etc. So it's not just a battle that Telstra can fight independently based on shareholders' value. It also depends very much on the developments in our society.
And speaking of shareholders, what do you think it all means for them? Because shares surge today, and does this move secure its high dividend payout?
Yeah. I definitely see, you know, as we already discussed, that whole infrastructure element is absolutely opening up business opportunities and creating more value for the company. As, you know, the Googles of this world, the Facebook of this world, they all need that infrastructure, yeah? If we start looking at 5G, you know, lots of corporations are going to have their own virtual mobile networks, yeah? They all require infrastructure.
Just finally, it sounds like Telstra's move then from being a technology company to an infrastructure company. Is that almost fair to say?
That's a very dangerous remark, Ricardo. Telstra won't like that, yeah? They always have tried to prevent that sort of situation that they didn't want to be seen as a utility. But in all reality, it is a utility. And what's wrong with a utility? You know, it has an enormous value. It's a long-term investment that you can have. It's a long-term return that you can bet on, yeah, for decades to come. Yes, it's a different sort of culture, yeah, as the sexy digital sort of company. Absolutely true, yeah. But, you know, Telstra, you know, has engineers. Telstra is an engineering company, yeah? It's not this ponytail sort of cultural, you know, people organization. No, it's an engineering company. So their value is very much in that infrastructure.
Paul Buddha there, telco analyst. Telstra shares up 3%, but the broader market fell today. The S&P ASX 200 down by 0.5% to 6,418. That snaps its five-day winning streak, but the market is still up 8.2% for the month. The banks and miners were lower today. Wesfarmers did rise, though, 2.5% thanks to higher sales. The best performer on the 200 was Nine Entertainment, increasing by 5% on an unexpected recovery in advertising. The Australian dollar buying 72.75 US. For more on the day, I spoke earlier with Chris Weston.
Chris, the market's taking a breather. Was it overdue?
Well, I think there's a bit of a pause for thought, Ricardo. We've had a really strong run in risk assets. The idea of everyone pricing in the election, but also looking into 2021 and saying that we're going to see a cyclical recovery in earnings, cyclical recovery in growth, and there's going to be better times ahead. Obviously, the vaccines helped, the news of the vaccines helped that situation along. But I think in the short term, people are now refocusing back on the exponential COVID case counts in the US. It's going to be a dark winter there. Hospitalization rates are going up. People are calling into question the short-termism of markets. So I think just after a big run in a lot of risk assets like equities, people are rotating back out of those cyclical stocks, those high growth stocks, and back into sort of more home, stay-at-home stocks. Maybe that's got a bit of legs in the short term, but I think it's got a bit long in the tooth, I suppose, and I think people are reflecting there.
Yeah, so looking forward, I mean, you mentioned that the vaccine, we've had the outcome of the US election, continued central bank stimulus. Is the market a bit too excited about the economic prospects of 2021, do you think?
Well, it's become a bit of a consensus trade. That worries me. But I think everything suggests that that is the right trade. It's just about, you know, time frame. I think we're talking about sort of short-term gyrations in the markets. But if I look at the message I'm seeing from cyclicals versus defensives, from copper, from high beta stocks, you know, they're telling me at the moment that 2021 is going to be a better time in the markets. Central banks are still going to be very reactive. They're still going to be very accommodative. They're not going to make a policy mistake, in my opinion. So as long as they can continue that gravy train with that economic momentum, we can ride out this dark period through Christmas and we start looking forward to that vaccine, then I think 2021 is going to be a better story. But I definitely think it concerns me that it's become a very consensus one as well.
And what do you make of the rise of the Australian dollar?
Well, the Australian dollar is not necessarily a reflection of Australia and its economics. There's been a bout of dollar weakness recently. That may change in the short term if we get a bit of risk aversion coming through in markets. But I think the Australian dollar, let's put it in perspective, it is a vehicle for trading sentiment. It's a vehicle for trading cyclical growth. And that's been entwined with this story of a better 2021. If you want to trade that as a thematic, you do it by trading the Australian dollar, the Kiwi dollar, the CAD, and also the Noki there. So it's really a vehicle for trading a thematic.
Chris Weston there from Pepperstone. Let's talk Christmas presents now. If you're looking at deliveries, if you're planning on sending Christmas gifts, especially overseas, you've only actually got a few days to get it to the post office if you are going to make it on time. Australia Post says Monday is the recommended deadline for parcels and letters being sent to the US, Canada, UK and Europe to make it before December the 25th via standard post. You've got a bit more time if you're sending to most of Asia. So to most of Asia, the deadline is Monday, the 23rd of November, and to New Zealand, it's Friday, the 27th of November. For parcels within Australia, the deadline is Saturday, the 12th of December for regular post. So that's Saturday, the 12th of December for regular post, or Saturday, the 19th of December for express post. So for more on that, I spoke earlier with Australia Post's Nicole Sheffield. Nicole, why are the deadlines so early?
Well, the deadlines are actually only a few days earlier than last year, but obviously this has been a year like no other, and we have had incredible volumes, lots of people sending this year across the country and across the world, and we want to ensure that everyone gets their parcels and their presents delivered on time. So we've made sure that we ask Australia to help themselves this year and get sending early.
Are you confident that you'll be able to deliver on time, and why?
Yeah, we are confident we'll be able to deliver on time because we've put a lot of work into our planning of our delivery networks. We've hired 18 extra planes, which carries in the belly of the planes is where our parcels and letters are. We've spent a lot of time with extra pop-up hubs. Our post offices have got extended hours. We've got 5,000 extra casual employees heading into Christmas to help us deliver for the country.
Just how busy is it right now for Australia Post?
Well, it's so busy. It's definitely, I mean, we feel like we've been in Christmas since pretty much COVID began back in April. Seen parcel deliveries up 60% this time last year. So it's very busy.
And what's your message to consumers still looking to make a purchase online, especially as we head into those retail events like Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales, and to make sure they get things in time from those retailers?
Yeah, look, I think the most important thing is keep shopping online. We're a big believer in e-commerce at Australia Post, and we welcome that. But get organised and make sure you mark those things, make sure your address is correct and all your sender details are there. And absolutely, the more organised you are, the more you'll ensure that you'll get those shopping parcels in time.
And just finally, can you give us an update on how you're working with AusPost franchisees, given they were so supportive of your ex-CEO?
Yeah, look, we absolutely love our licensees at Australia Post. We work closely with them, and the success of their business is the success of Australia Post. So we continue to ensure that they're able to serve the community and that they are well looked after.
Nicole Sheffield there from Australia Post. And that is SBS on the Money for this Thursday, the 12th of November 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.